To understand, you know, he's not trying to make trouble, he's just stressing out like every other fan. Well, there's good in every team, things aren't always what they seem. You can always find a winner if you try. Hey, weeknights, things will be better. Oh yes, they will for Parker and the man. Oh yes, they will for Parker and the man. Even though Mike Wilson, he can't understand. Parker and Wilson. It's Sports Night with Parker and the Man.
Okay then, here we are, the podcast for the week of March 10th, 2014. Already March 10th. We already flipped the clocks, sprung forward.
If you haven't, this is a podcast or a radio show.
If you haven't done that yet, you might want to think about it. Spring forward, fall back, so we're in the spring forward. It's a nice warm day. We're doing this on a Monday. It's like 50 degrees in the Metro D. And, you know, Rob's very excited. He's an excitable young man.
Is this a podcast or a radio show?
Well, you know, you did your little bust out on your little Sports Final edition. Seems like everybody saw it. And I mean everybody.
You didn't realize how popular Clubhouse Confidential is.
You know, I got to give it up to Channel 4's Sports Final Edition on your local 4. Click on Detroit.com thingy. Because I, when you said you were going to bust it out, I did not expect my phone to blow up like it has. Because I haven't busted out at all. I haven't done anything yet. Wait, I mean, I haven't done anything.
I know you didn't just send that stuff out tonight.
I haven't done anything yet. And look at the response already. From just what you did for a lousy 90 seconds or whatever it was at midnight on a Sunday/Monday.
It is amazing.
I don't know if it's, you know, Channel 7 got rid of their late night show, so you're the only, you know, rodeo in town.
Even though we were beating them anyway.
Yeah, right. But you got any of the leftover people who want that program, you know, that is the Man Cave show or whatever at 11 o'clock. It's nothing to do with the late night show, the wrap-up show. So any of the stragglers who said in the past, you know, maybe I prefer 7 over 4, they're all in. What are they doing? They're going to sleep. They want a local program. They're obsessed with their Detroit, which they should be. I thought it was a mistake for 7 to get rid of their show, no matter how many people are watching. And now you got them all. So you got all the viewers. You got everybody.
I agree. And if you didn't know what we're talking about, I announced last night that Sports Night with Parker and the Man is going to reboot. And we are joining WDFN starting March 24th, 7 to 10 p.m. And, Mark, as you know, I was the first person ever hired on-air talent at WDFN in 1994. And this is the 20th anniversary of WDFN, so it really means a lot that we're going back, and we hope people will come back with us. And our show originally started at WDFN in 1998. And then, as everybody knows, we went to 97.1 and had a nice long 7-year run there, and went to CHB for...
Closing on 8 years, right? There, actually.
Almost 8 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've been all over, we've done a lot, but this is kind of cool to go back home where it all started.
Well, I said this to somebody. I said one of the reasons is, and I think it's kind of a little weird, but we have kind of a affinity for the original sports station. And we were saddened to see that it kind of went off the rails and to see where the ratings numbers are and where it went. You know, we had the highest numbers in the morning's history there and bonused because of it, by the by.
I remember that check.
And so, you know, to do it again 16 years later, I don't think it's even a matter of years. It's just that, and we're not there to save the day. It's that it was.
Yeah, but you know what? I agree with you. That's not our motive or our mission. But I don't know. I'm going to tell you, Mark, there's a little bit. I'm overwhelmed by the response that we've gotten on Facebook and just around. And the other thing is, I think you're right. I think fans have an affinity for it. I think there's a chance that DFN will say, maybe we, what did we do here? Look, people, you got the powerful FMs. I'm not knocking them, you know what I mean? But, wow, there's a buzz.
Don't forget, WDFN is a 50,000-watt station. It powers down a touch at night. But from what I've heard going around town listening in various pockets, downriver, city, north, all the way, you know, in the old days, you could get it towards Lansing to the west. You got into Canada. We had callers from Guelph, Ontario, certainly from Chatham.
Who's that, Buster?
Buster, and that, remember the girl who was the pizza delivery girl who used to call us all the time from Ontario? North to Flint and beyond. I've had DFN. I've gotten it as far away, Birch Run towards Frankenmuth. South, easy, Monroe.
What were you saying, Frankenmuth or Birch Run?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is the hamburger we're talking about? Halo, did you see it?
Halo Burger.
Did you see it? Over there where I was telling you it was on? Big Beaver?
No, I still haven't seen it yet.
Okay. It's over there.
I told you I want to get over there to Halo Burger. Shout out to Halo Burger.
Halo Burger. Oh, my
first goodness. Of the shout outs today. And Matt Shepard's in the morning. Look, the lineup right now, you got Matt, you got Patrick, you got Jay Moore, you got the Black Crows guy. They got the Big Ten show. We'll be on. Weekends are ready. We know Bob Bauer's Outdoor World. Chef Rob and Gridiron, Theo, they're starting their thing up on Sunday. They're rocking and rolling over there.
I've been listening to their show.
Yeah, doing their thing. And we all love Bob Bauer. I mean,
Bob's the best. Come on, he's a pro's pro. He's the best.
And I'm telling you, I hope that, you know, Matt enjoys our time there and Chef Rob and Theo and Bauer. We all enjoy having, you know, at the end of the day, I suppose, you're there to win. You're there to do something. You're there to win. You're there to do good work and have people enjoy it, entertaining and informative, like we always say. So
because that's what our show is about. Mark, those two words, you gotta have fun have people listen, but you gotta bring to the table some information. You can't just read the internet and come on and the same old, same old. You gotta have some information, some insight. And you know what? We're not gonna overguess you. We've never done that. Okay? People used to complain. The people who wanted to be on this complaint, you guys never have guests. Or you don't have guests a lot. No, we don't. A, not being vain, they don't know more than me and you. That's number one. Number two, a lot of people come on and don't have anything to say. That's not what we're looking for. So if you're a company man and you're just going to come on and give us then we don't need you on.
We've had some celebrated battles with people we've put on the air. I mean celebrated, all the way from the James Tonys, to the Randy Smiths.
Remember that? James Tony said he was going to, what did he say?
He said the F word and he was going to kill somebody.
Right. Was he saying me or?
I think it was Jackie Callender. And Jackie's that? Back in town, so maybe we'll have Jackie on. There's an interview we can do. We'll do Jackie Callender.
We had all kinds of stuff. And you remember even Nancy Lieberman was embroidered in
controversy. Our own insiders.
We love Nancy.
Our own insiders.
We're talking about Gibby and.
Gary.
Gary and.
Our own insiders. You know,
and don't forget Tom Killer Kowalski, the late great Tom Killer Kowalski.
We love Killer,
but we got into it with him, right? Over information that we didn't think was legit.
Ty Halleck.
Ty Halleck. We both looked at each other and said, "What?" I know it's kind of inside, but it just the point is that we don't care who's on. You better come with some information for us.
Look, I'm going to be honest with you. After 2008, when we left WCHB, it was, in fact, on the day the Red Wings celebrated the Stanley Cup.
And we love working at CHB.
Yeah, we love the Radio 1 people. Sad to this day. I thought the ship had sailed. I thought we'd moved on. I did two radio projects, full-bore radio projects.
Well, you didn't want me. I understood. I went to New York and did ESPN radio.
But, Rob, that was the whole point. The ESPN thing, to you, took you out of town, took you out of the mix. Speaking of ESPN.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
That's pretty funny. The ESPN, da-da-da-da-da-da. That took you out of the mix. So I went and did my Vegas thing. Then I came back here to the 1090 thing. Two full-bore, hard-worked radio projects. And so somebody said, well, what is this? I said, it's a resurrection. Sometimes you don't have to, everything doesn't have to be definitive. Okay, that's over. That's the end of the line. That's the last time we're going to do something. You know, if it had been that way, Conan O'Brien would still be hosting The Tonight Show.
Yep.
Right?
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, now you've got Leno back, and now he's already gone, and Jimmy Fallon's hosting The Tonight Show. Stuff changes. Stuff remains the same. Stuff returns. I called it a resurrection. There's a new TV show, in fact, called Resurrection. That's what this is. We've risen like the phoenix from the ashes to give it a shot. We're going to have a good time. Just go out and do the thing. Everybody takes everything so seriously in the radio and TV
business. It's a radio show.
That's it, man.
And there are a lot of people out there, Mark, like I said, you read Facebook, who were like dying for the show to come back. I mean, it really got to me, all the nice comments from people. It really did.
Look, we joined up with this Premier Sports Talk Radio Network, Woodward One Media. They had a vested interest in seeing if we had any interest in going back and doing something. At the time, we didn't even know DFN or wherever it might be. And so I want to make this very clear on our podcast here. Rob and I have nothing to do. We are being paid to do the radio show. We do not own the show. We are working for people, not Clear Channel.
We work for media, Woodward Media One. That's who we work for.
A company that is paying us to go and do a job for them,
right,
is what we're doing. So I want that clear, because there will be some misconception as to how we're doing this. Rob and I weren't necessarily even looking to do it. We did the podcast as a lark.
And then
they approached us about doing it.
And then they put us on. Remember when we did the auto show? Remember that and all that? And they were interested in us doing something. And then they said, what about radio? What about a show? What about maybe doing a show? And we thought about it. And
I have a relationship with the guy who's doing this. He worked with me at 1090 at CAR. So there was a lot of stuff there that was good stuff. And you take the good stuff and you put it in a bowl, and you mix it up, and you say, is this palpable? Can we do this thing? And at the end of the time, when we metered it all out, it was a yes.
But what was the biggest thing is what? I mean, and let's be honest, I'm not being sappy. We can work together. We had fun. You know, there's a lot of radio partners, Mark, who, you've seen it, who made big money, who split up, who called each other's
names. If you would have told me Mike Francesa and Chris Russo couldn't find a way
to just make that money, have a successful, they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. Despise each other.
And that's a lot more money. I mean, that's big time stuff.
Right.
That's New York City. That's number one market
stuff. You said to yourself, you could get over it. Just work. We've been able to survive for a long time, and I enjoy working with you. Well,
we wouldn't do it if we didn't.
No, I know.
We wouldn't do it if we didn't. And it wasn't that I did my projects, you did your projects. We had things we wanted to do. So, you clear out the cobwebs, you get stuff you wanted to do done. We could have easily not done the radio show and still done our things, and everything would have been cool. We would have done the podcast. We've always said we did the podcast kind of as a lark. We never charged anybody a dime. We're going to make money off the podcast. We wanted you to have it for free. We wanted, it wasn't like we were getting it sponsored. We didn't even bother. So all these things that I heard, they're doing this, they're doing that, I'm telling you, it is just as generic as approach. Hey, would you guys like to do it? DFN's got some time available. How would you like to go back on at night? We thought about it. A little bit more, and then said,
and
why the hell
not? Thing. I mean, that's it's a nighttime show, right? I'm very proud. In 2005, we're the number one nighttime show in Detroit.
Not sports show, not talk show.
Thank you. Don't get it twisted. Not number one sports show. Well, you were the only one on. No. Go look at the ratings from back then.
In the numbers, we above WRIF and WJR and
WJOB, Mark, music stations and big time. It was unbelievable. I still remember when we got the call. What's hanging downstairs in the basement? That Lions jersey with the number one that they gave us?
Gave us a real black Lions, the alternative Lions jersey with our names on it.
And a number one for being number one.
That's what CBS said. Here, we want you at least have a token of our appreciation. You're already being paid pretty damn well, so we weren't arguing about the money at that point. But, they gave us a $300 football jersey.
That was nice. Yeah. I thought that was very nice.
I still have mine.
I was trying to think. We both got one. Did Flaj get one, too?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
I think all three of us. Did Gavin? I don't think Gavin was with us then.
I don't remember who. I thought there were. In fact, didn't D&D get one, too?
Yeah, they were number one. Yeah, they got one. They were number one. We were both.
Dominski and Doyle show got one, and we got one.
We killed it, if you remember. We had Dominski and Doyle. What were they, 4 hours?
No, were they three to six?
No, they were 4 hours. They were 2 to 6.
I think midday show was 10 to 3.
3 to 7.
After Howard,
3 to 7,
yeah.
And we were 7 to 11.
Correct.
So we had 97.1 from 3 to 11. We had a number one. We held number one on radio.
8 hour block.
That's unbelievable on radio.
And it wasn't like back in the 18th century. This is just
2005.
Yeah, a few years ago, not a full decade ago or anything like that. So it's March 24th. You two can advertise. Send us a thing. ParkerTheBat@Yahoo.com.
Hey,
I'm kidding.
Mark,
I'm not kidding.
You're not kidding. But
no, because you know what?
You know what was cool today? Just be honest. Let's just.
Okay, go ahead. You can tell.
advertisers called us today.
Yeah. I got hit on Facebook about advertising.
I went to the tailor. Oh, I heard the news, whatever. Let's make it happen. Shout out to Sam's Alteration.
Shout out, Sam's.
Sam's are right there on Southfield Road in 12 Mile. I mean, right there.
Look, by the way, radio sells advertising. I don't know if you've heard this. Even the good stations, they have commercial breaks. We're not going to apologize. I told Rob this. Don't apologize. People expect it. If you listen to a commercial radio station, you have choices. You can listen to non-commercial stations.
It's not serious, right?
Yeah, it's not serious XM. And even they've started to meter in a little bit of those things every now and then.
A little bit. Oh, you know, man. Every now and then
So, yeah, ParkerTheMan at Yahoo.com. Hit us up on Twitter at ParkerTheMan. And, of course, our Facebook page as well.
I don't know what else to say, but... And then, you know, I've been hit up with about the show, things, the elements of the show. Remember, we had a very, very different kind of radio show. We did a show. We didn't just take phone calls. We didn't just
We liked the games. People liked the games that we played. We'll do some. We'll switch some up. We'll do some of the same stuff. You know, there's no reason not to bring back those things. Again, we didn't do the show in the 1800s.
You mean like Trash Talking Tuesday?
But even Rob Parker's current enough to add a new word to that, too. You want to sing it the new way.
Trash Talking Twitter Tuesday.
Is it Trash Talking Twitter Tuesday or Trash Talking Tuesday Tweets?
No. Trash Talking Twitter Tuesday.
That's what you like.
Okay. Yes. Trash Talking.
Because I think it was even Weston who said, do you like it that? He's already like, do you like it that way or do you like to put tweets at the end? I said, no, whatever.
Twitter. Trash Talking Twitter Tuesday.
And you'll be able to hit us up on Twitter and do your thing and go crazy and go nuts.
Or call us, either one. Mm-hmm. Twitter will read yours, right? Or we'll take your call, either way.
So social media, very big part. Multi-level platform. We'll have situations where you can see it on webcam. Is that her? No. We'll have situations that you can see us on webcam through the Premier Sports Talk Network.
Well, that's the new wrinkle to this. That if you're and people have been asking again. You know, will it be streamed? Will we be able to, you know, listen to it or see it? You know, people are not in it.
All streamed on your media outlets, your devices, your tablets, and your smartphones. That's easy. That's a done deal. You can listen to it online on WDFN.com. They have the Listen Live thing here. That's
that all. iHeartRadio.
Right, and the iHeartRadio app. Of course, iHeartRadio is huge with Clear Channel. So all that stuff is in play. We know that part. We want to even expand it even further into a multi-level platform. It's just 2014, after all, and we're not, you know, oblivious to it. Rob sometimes can be oblivious, but I think he's gotten with the party. You know, you're doing things I never thought you'd do. You do a lot of tweeting and twittering, and you Facebook and you do all the thing. I thought maybe you'd be a holdout, but
no, I got involved. I sure did.
All right, so without going any more on this, March 24 will be the day, a week before opening day, before the Tigers hit the field at Comerica. If it's 27 degrees outside at that point.
Well, it's 50 today.
Yeah,
it's going to get bad.
3 days from now, it's supposed to be 24, so I'm not...
Yeah, but it's March. It does that. That's okay.
Be careful. Be careful about the way the weather's wacky world of weather is handling itself in our world. Can we get to some stuff? Namely, the big one?
Yeah.
William Clay Ford. I mean, it still looks odd to me to see William Clay Ford dies at age 88. I'll have a piece up on our website at ParkerTheMan.com. It's called Legacy of Losing, and it'll be all about my experiences with Ford in the past. I've had plenty.
You got that famous laugh. You were the one who got it. We used to use that.
Yeah, no,
I got it.
Yeah.
That's sitting right there.
That was right off my tape recorder at the time I got Ford himself
we
laughing.
We used to use that as a laugh track. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. That was great. It was awesome.
It was great.
Some people thought we were mocking the guy. In fact, I had a conversation with, I think it was Keenest at the time. I said, Bill.
Not a mock.
You come on, man. I mean, it's on my tape recorder. He understood. It's not like I found it somewhere. I had him laughing on my thing. One thing I want to say about Ford, and I know you had your own, you wrote something about Ford himself. First of all, in my experience with him, he never dodged an interview. He was available after games. He wasn't a recluse. I found Bill Davidson more reclusive than Ford, even though Davidson would be at the same games, like his Piston games, like Ford would be at his football games. But it was easier for me to get what I wanted out of the owner of the Lions. People thought he was a recluse. No, he wasn't. Ford was at every game. Now, if you chose not to speak to Mr. Ford at the time, that's your problem. He would answer tough questions. He never shied away from anything. He never tried to bounce when it was getting hot in the interview session. So I was respect. Now, did he give me a lot of good stuff? No. Michael Harris said it best. If anybody tells you what Ford is thinking if you don't speak to them, they're lying to you because Ford has no insiders. Even all the way up to his death, it kind of came out of nowhere. Jennifer Hammond, I saw, first tweeted it.
He broke the story. Everybody was like, well, I don't know if this is – I said, wait a minute.
No, it didn't say sources said. It said Lions owner Lynn Clay Ford has passed away.
No, I knew she had it. I mean, Mark, you're in this business. Hammond's in this business. You're reporting someone's death without being sure. There's no way. Am I right?
No way.
There's no way. Somebody reports that somebody's dead.
And not in the fashion in which Hammer did.
No, right. I knew it was accurate from the minute.
Happy to give Hammer the credit for breaking that because that came out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. But yeah, my column on clickondetroit.com, if you get a chance to go check it out, is basically that the fans were wrong about him. And you know, it was a tired bit. We all know radio bit. Lions will never win until either Ford sells or he dies. That used to be the whole thing, right? They'll never, because he's the constant. Coaches change, players change, GMs change. But the one thing that remains.
Not many GMs change, which we'll get to in a second.
But some. And the thing, though, about him, when I say fans are wrong about him, they always say, he doesn't care. He doesn't care about winning. All he does care if they sell out the stadium every week. Not true. Things didn't work out. Did he spend money, Mark? It was not that long ago. The Lions had a third highest payroll.
I wrote that down.
Highest payroll. So it ain't about money.
Hey, they built you a palace.
Right?
Pardon the pun of that.
The Superdome and just said, hey, whatever, we're not spending any money. No, they built a beautiful, one of the best.
And the practice facility at Allen Park.
Right, one of the best I've ever seen. And that's not me. You know me, I'm anti-Detroit as I always get. I'm telling you, that's a great stadium.
I love Ford Field and Allen Park.
Right, and... Did he pay for coaches? Went out and got Mooch. Paid. Did he pay for GMs?
Wasn't Mooch the highest paid coach at the time? Over $5 million?
He went and got him. Paid Matt Millen a handsome amount of money. I thought it was a mistake. We always thought from day one, but he went out and got a football member. Oh, no, Chuck Schmidt. He's on a bean counter. Go get Matt Millen. He's got 4 Super Bowl rings. What?
Poor Chuck with the bean counter.
That's what they used to call Chuck. Well, you know that.
But here,
he's a bean counter.
Let me explain something about Mr. Ford to you. I'm not doing it out of deference. I just like saying it. With Chuck Schmidt. And this is the part I want to get to.
That's good drinking water.
We know how this started. All right. Everybody knows about November 22nd, 1963. That's when the stock was purchased and the cash changed hands, and he bought the team on the day that John Kennedy was assassinated. He took ownership of the franchise officially on January the 10th, 1964. The same day as...
My birthday.
The day you were born. The physical day you were born.
The whole thing, right.
The whole shooting match in New York.
January 10, 1964.
Is the same day that Ford officially from the National Football League took ownership, sole ownership of the Lions.
How about that? $4.5 million he paid. He left this earth. It's valued at $900 million. I only think of, like, that's not like a great deal until you hear that the Giants, New York Giants,
right.
They paid $500 for the team.
Right. But that, yeah.
They were like $1.2
billion. Billion now, with a B.
They paid $500. 1934.
But if you want to know why the Lions have had no success since 1957, and Ford was part of that. He was on the board back in the 50s. And why this has happened, look no further than the fact that when Ford took over, Russ Thomas was his contract negotiator. There was no official GM. In 1967, 3 years after, Russ got the title as official general manager, but he was with him from day one as the person who did all the business of football. Russ Thomas remained in that position until 1989 when the bean counter came in, Chuck Schmidt. Chuck remained in that position till the day he quit, January the 9th, 2001, went the day after Matt Millen was hired. Now, considering Martin Mayhew is a Millen hire, you could almost claim that the Lions have had, in the Ford ownership era of 50 years, 3 other voices. Russ, Chuck, Matt/Mayhew. Because Martin was Matt's first hire. So Martin Mayhew is still very much a part of the Millen regime. He may be his own guy, maybe doing his own things, but the man that hired him was Matt Millen. So even if you want to go to 4... In 50 years, that's not enough voices. The NFL has changed mightily. There was a Super Bowl since 66. When Ford came in, there was not a Super Bowl. Russ Thomas was way too old school. Chuck Schmidt, as we talked about being the bean counter, if you look at it in the 90s, Chuck kind of did the pushing of the papers and the clerical work. The guy who kind of ran the show more than ever in his career was William Clay Ford. Ford was basically his own general manager. He gave personnel moves to his coaches, which meant two guys in the 90s. That's Wayne Fonts and Bobby Ross. And I'll tell you what, we'll go further. Rob's doing actually a radio show. We'll go further on the second half of our podcast. And I want to get into further about the legacy of William Clay Ford. It's too big a deal not to. And really what it all represents. And then moving forward with his wife, Martha, Firestone Ford, is the second female, really female owner of a National Football League team joining Virginia Halas McCaskey of the Chicago Bears. So that's coming up on the podcast. We'll do some more Pistons business. We'll get to Red Wings stuff, Tigers, of course, in spring training, the Big Ten tournament, college basketball, how MSU and Michigan finished their thing, and so much more on the podcast coming up. So stick and stay, as Rob would say. And don't forget to email us at parkertheman@yahoo.com. And also check us on Twitter and Facebook. All right, coming up, don't go anywhere. More podcast in a moment.
All right, make sure if you need a haircut in Metro Detroit, the place to go to is it's Sporty Cuts. Oh, my goodness. Sporty Cuts on 7 Mile Road between Outer Drive and Myers Mark, home of the $10 all-even haircuts for men, $8 for boys. So you need a good fresh cut, come to Sporty Cuts on 7 Mile Road. Hey, Mark.
Yo.
Go get Sporty Cut.
You know, it's springtime now, too. Everybody needs a new fresh cut. You know, maybe a new fresh hot dog. It's springtime, man. The official start of spring is not that far away. Meteorological spring started March 1st. All right, so let me get back to Ford just to wrap up. And by the way, Rob was just on with Mildred Gaddis on WCHB. And it was nice of you to stick me on with her so I could say how much I love Mildred. We love Mildred. We got it, you know, like you said, when we worked there the year and a half.
Who else was on the – we had Mark.
Well, the late Angelo Henderson, and we
– look at the lineup over there, and then you –
I can't believe I'm still saying the late Angelo Henderson.
And Al Sharpton was on the network. I mean, we were on –
and Sharpton was at the station quite often.
Right.
Yeah,
a couple times, right?
And, you know, a lot of other stuff. But that was a great – the Radio 1 people, I still say to this day – and we had to drive downtown. Nice facility, not bad. Way down on what, Franklin? Was that on Franklin? Right near where the old DFN was.
And do you remember how nice they were? I forgot what year was our anniversary.
They gave us a little party for our, and we'd only been there for a few months, and it's like we'd been there for years.
They called us out to the bullpen or whatever. Everybody came out.
You love that story, man.
Yeah, because we weren't even there that long, Mark, when they had the party. It wasn't like an anniversary there. It was just our show anniversary.
Dude, honestly, the love for us there was sick. I mean, it was almost insane. It was almost to the point we had to tell them, guys, we're cool, man. We're just here to do a little gig.
Right, but they were real nice.
So, anyhow, shout out to Mildred Gaddis and her radio show. What time is she on? She's still in the afternoon?
No, she just moved to the afternoon. You know, she's doing morning.
She was replaying in the afternoon. Remember
right,
that?
But now she's on live 4 to 7.
So what are they doing in the mornings over there?
Tom Joyner. Because Mason,
oh, right,
used to do afternoons on CHB. He moved to the
FM thing.
FM right. station. I forgot. KISS or one of those
right.
stations. So he's over there.
So Joyner show is now on in the morning.
On CHB. And now...
Good. I'm glad Mildred is on in the afternoon.
Yeah. After all those years doing mornings, yeah.
Well, she's, that part plus new listener. I mean, some new people can listen to her.
Oh, no.
That didn't necessarily hear it in their morning show. So there you go. A little shout out to Mildred on 1200 AM CHB. Here's the thing about Ford, okay, and I want to make this clear because I heard you talking to Mildred about this part of William Clay Ford, about the laugh that we had and the fact that he was not a guy who would run and hide from the media. He was there. If you went and sought him out, he had to do some work, okay, you had to physically talk to him, but he was always cool, at least with me. I can't speak for other people, but I wrote this down too, and about his philanthropy and amount of money he gave to the Boys and Girls Clubs. It's not about Ford the man. Okay? Because he never wanted us to know him or the Firestone clan. His wife Martha was a Firestone. Firestone and Ford together. You know the whole thing with the tires back in the 90s and in the early 2000s. That's because the families have known each other since time began. I'm assuming that the first tire ever on a Ford vehicle was a Firestone.
Well, that's a nice marriage.
It's a pretty profitable marriage for most of that time frame. And they righted the ship. You know, we know the whole car company thing. And Mr. Ford himself, William Clay Ford Sr., the only time he was really involved with the car company was back in the Lincoln Continental Division days, back in the 50s. He left that in 1955. He was not really involved with the car company post that time period. The Mark II, or the Mark IV, Mark II was his vehicle. Much like Junior's vehicle is kind of the Mustang. That's his thing. But Junior has always been much more involved with the actual automotive division than Senior has been. Senior was, don't make any mistake, he was there to run the Lions from 1964 on. He was not there to deal with the car company. No matter if he was emeritus or chairman or whatever you want to call him, he didn't have much dealings with the car company. So when we talk about him with the Lions, it may be different than you talk about the guy. And some dude posted perfectly on Facebook. He said, look, if you're happy about the death of William Clay Ford, you need to seriously reevaluate your life. If you're happy that a person died because your football team has never been good, you need to reevaluate your life. Martha Ford is going to take over. This team is not being sold. She takes over as the new owner. She's the owner. That's how this works. Just like Virginia McCaskey took over when her dad passed away, George Halas, and McCaskey has been the owner of the Chicago Bears for 30 years now. Martha Ford will own them as long as she wants, or as long as she puts on, you know, duties to her other children, Junior being the guy for the most part. This isn't a mystery wrapped in a riddle. You don't have to look far. I mean, the Lions have already announced this, that Martha Ford will be the person. And you say, maybe it'll work better with Martha Ford. You talk about the fact that Clay Ford, WCF, his biggest problem is loyalty. And I talked before in the first half of the podcast about only having these voices, Russ Thomas, Chuck Schmidt, Matt Millen, Martin Mayhew. There is one other. And this is where I really fault Ford. In 1987, he hired Jerry Vannese, who had built the Chicago Bears. After Jim Finks, it was Vannese who built the Bears into the Super Bowl shuffle powerhouse they were in the mid-80s, with Ditka and the rest, and Buddy Ryan. They hired Jerry Vannese. Ford himself went and hired Vannese. This was a couple of years before Russ retired. Vannese was the one responsible for drafting Barry Sanders. He drafted him. In 1990, there was a power play struggle. Ford was so loyal to Schmidt that he gave Schmidt bigger power than he would give Vannese, even though he very much wanted Jerry Vannese to stay on as like vice president player personnel. Vannese wanted full control. He didn't want Chuck Schmidt in that position. He lost out. He left. He took some gig with the World League of American Football. Obviously, he left for a crappier job because there's no job like being a GM in the National Football League. So they had the guy. Like you said, they paid the money. He got Jerry Vannese, 2 years removed from being the Chicago Bears' chief architect of a Super Bowl winning team. And this brings up one other point. I still believe this, and I talked to Clay Ford one time about this. I use these things because you want to separate Ford from Ford. I still believe he never got over the death of Don McCafferty. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, understand this about Ford. In 1973, 2 years removed, a couple years removed from a playoff team with Joe Schmidt, his legendary linebacker, he made head coach, they had to get rid of when it wasn't getting done, even though Schmidt ended with an well over 500 record. And Schmidt is the guy, by the way, the man who fired him when Joe Schmidt went to the Hall of Fame, who do you think he asked to give his induction into the Canton, Ohio? It was the man who fired him. He Ford did it. And Ford was very eloquent when he put Joe Schmidt into the Hall of Fame. So this is a couple years after a playoff team. He goes and hires Don McCafferty, who had won the Super Bowl with the Baltimore Colts. He hired a Super Bowl-winning coach 7 years after the Super Bowl even started. He's a young man. He's 52 years old. He comes in 1973. Expectations were low. I look back on this. They were supposed to win two or three games. They won six. They won 6, 7, and 1 back in the 14-game days, when the season was 14 games. Expectations were higher in 1974. People were looking forward to this. They have a Super Bowl coach now. He's a young man. Here we go. In June of 1974, McCafferty is at his West Bloomfield home. He's mowing his lawn. He dies of a massive heart attack at a Pontiac hospital. He probably died literally on the way to the hospital. In his second year as Lions coach, just before camp begins, he's just spending a day at his house in West Bloomfield. He's 53 years old. He just went 6-7-1, and things were looking up, and they have a guy who knows how to get there. And then they had to, they quickly put Forzano in there. Rick Forzano became the coach because they had no choice. I mean, it was literally days before camp started. Forzano didn't work out, Hudspeth, and then the carousel begins, this horrible coaching carousel. I talked to Ford about this once. He could not get through a first question about McCafferty until his eyes were welling up with tears. And I know for a fact that Russ Thomas, the last, really, 15 years of his tenure, he never got past the death. Remember, both of them, I think, were younger than McCafferty. McCafferty was older than his owner. Ford was, because McCafferty today would be 93 years old, and Ford, you know, he's 5 days shy of his 89th birthday. So McCafferty was actually older than his own owner. So they had a lot of respect for this man when he came here to do the job with the Lions. I think that happens. Sometimes you can't get past it. And because of the loyalty you showed to Schmidt, I don't mean to diatribe this on you, Rob, but I'm really passionate about Don McCafferty, and I wish people would look up the history of some of this stuff and realize there are reasons why. You don't have to like it. I'm not even giving him a pass. I'll bring this up right now. Robin, 775 games in his tenure. This was his record. 311 wins, 451 losses, and 13 ties. It's one thing to be a few games under 500 and be bad. It's another thing to be 140 games under 500.
And then also to own the team for 50 years, only make the playoffs 10 times, which is really like, wow, that's unbelievable.
19 seasons of double-digit losses, 5 of double-digit wins. There are teams in the NFL who've got 5 in a row. Patriots, Colts. We've seen teams, you know, roll off 10 wins like it's nothing. The Lions, under Ford ownership, did it 5 times, including just one in 2011. So prior to Jim Schwartz's year of 10 wins, they had done it 4 times. He spent too long with Wayne Fonts. The 90s, they went to the playoffs 6 times. But think about this. Is it a coincidence that that was the time when Ford basically was his own general manager? He had no GM. Chuck was the bean counter, as we call him, and he gave personnel control to both Fonts and Ross. Meaning, and I tell you, and you know this, Rob, Ford was more visible in his career in the 90s than at any other time as the owner of the Detroit Lions. Did it work out? No. In fact, Jim Caldwell was his 16th coaching hire, including Dick Charron as an interim. That's one every 3 years. That's not good. Fonts was the longest tenured coach. I think Schmidt was second. Monty Clark might have been tied with Joe Schmidt. And basically everybody else didn't last more than 3. 2 years here, 2 years, 3 years. Marty went 2. Mooch went 2.5. Marinelli went 3.
How'd that happen?
Daryl went into his 4th. And even Daryl asked, how did that happen, when he said, what does a guy got to do to get fired around here? That was, you know, famous for that. A coach asking to be fired. There were a lot of bad things in football. Again, this is not about Ford the man, Ford the owner. And there were a lot of bad things, and most of them are always tied to the loyalty he showed. To work for the Ford family, like a Pope gig. Like a Pope, you could have that job forever. Matt Barnhart, Bill Keenest, ask those guys. They'll tell you how great it is to work for him. Tom LaWant. Think Tom LaWant will say a bad word about William Clay Ford Sr.? Hell no. Took great care of them, paid them well. Most people through those doors who worked in the Lions organization, look at the people that are still there to this day. Tim Pendel worked there forever. Deanna Caldwell has been there since time began, I think. I don't know how long Deanna's been there, but it's a long time. I have never heard a person come out of the Ford group with the Lions and say, I had a bad experience as an employee there. Maybe they did, but they didn't say it to me. And I don't think you have ever heard that in 20 years here in this town either, have you?
No, never. Absolutely never heard that.
All right, so that's all I got.
Spot on when it comes to that. I don't think that's an issue.
Look, I'm gonna, again, read the thing on our site. We could go on and on about it. I mean, it's such a, what a huge thing just happened yesterday to have the, you know, William Clay Ford. You know, Bill Davidson has passed. Ford is now passed. Mike Gillich ain't young. You know, and quite frankly, you know, Ford's wife, Martha, is his age. She was born in 1925. She's 88 years old as well. So this is something will happen, but God, it was really amazing the text I got yesterday about what's going to happen now, what's going to happen now, when do they sell the team? You know, maybe they don't want to.
I never thought that was that. I don't see the Ford family selling the team. The one thing I did mention on Mildred's show, Mark, and help me with this, your thoughts. Lions are terrible on Thanksgiving Day. Okay. That's a big game for the league. It's a showcase. Everybody in NFL America, Mark, is home on Thanksgiving to watch the football game. I knew it would never happen while Ford was alive, that the league would take that game. But you know, there was already an uprising. Remember, owners would say, why should the Lions get that game? Why? You remember? And there were some owners. What was it, Kansas City's owner?
Yeah, the Hunt family.
Remember? They mm-hmm. were yeah. they wanted that game. They said it should be passed around. The Lions don't deserve it. And I remember the commissioner coming in and saying, you know, we're not kind of touching that or doing that. But now, if the Lions don't get their act together, if you told me, Mark, 2 or 3 years from now they decide to change or take that game away, look at their record in Thanksgiving the last 20 years.
No, it's not good. It's not good.
And not only that.
And they've been blown out.
Blown out.
Tennessee did it with Schwartz as defensive coordinator. Peyton Manning
did it. Peyton Manning had six touchdowns. Yeah. Remember, they took him on the third quarter. It was ridiculous.
6 through 3 quarters.
You agree with me or not?
I think in deference to Martha Park Firestone Ford, it won't happen while she's in control.
I don't know if they owe her as much as they owe William Clay Ford.
I don't know what's drawn up. I don't know what's written in. But outside of that, I think you're more prevalent than ever thinking that this could happen, that the Lions could lose Thanksgiving Day. I think Junior will go to the mat for Thanksgiving Day, though. Don't underestimate Junior's power with the league. Don't underestimate money when it comes to Ford Automotive money.
But there was owners who...
But Rob, do you know why that ended? There was a quick threat that you take this game away, Ford Motor Company money will not be as plentiful. That's what I heard.
No, well, I understand that, but I'm just saying now that the old man is not there anymore, he had a lot of clout, and I'm just saying it will be up for debate.
You do know that Ford Jr. is on the broadcasting committee.
No, I understand that, Mark, but I just think it will be up for debate.
No, I just gave it to you.
Just from the standpoint of this is a showcase game. Everybody in the country is off watching football.
And they have the first one of the day. Yes. At 12:30.
Mark, that's the one. When do people have dinner? Usually after that game, right? 4 o'clock is Thanksgiving dinner. So everybody's watching that game. The game that comes on, the Cowboys, people are eating. It might be on.
You know what?
The big game is the 12:30 game. That's the biggest game in the country.
You know, if we had a show right now, the Lions would be lit up, right? I mean, because the obvious question is, do you think the Lions should ever lose the Thanksgiving Day game, regardless of who the owner is?
People will say no. I get it, and I understand the history. If somebody
I don't know. I think some people would be honest with themselves and say maybe the Lions' time has passed.
Somebody would have told you, Mark, that the Cincinnati Reds would have the opening taken away.
Yeah.
Never.
No.
The first professional team in any sport in this country had the opener forever.
Ever. Probably 75 years.
Forever.
Maybe more.
Right? It was always the Reds' first game of the year. We always watched it. And then, remember, they played on that Monday or whatever it was, and then everybody else played the next day. Nobody else played that day. It was the Cincinnati Reds and whoever they were playing.
And then they just added more games on that day, and then now they're playing on March 22nd, Dodgers in Arizona and Australia. That is opening day, people. March 22nd.
Right, that's the opening day.
They have to do it that way because they have to get back from Australia and give them time for their bodies to acclimate.
Right, they can't play and then, fly back from the weekend and then start playing.
I got
playing.
That. Why are the Dodgers and their Diamondbacks playing in Australia?
It's a two-game series,
Two
right?
games, yeah. Yeah. Playing two games down there. You wouldn't go there for one, would you?
No, it's got to be two.
All right, look, we'll, again, read the piece, and that's William Clay Ford. I don't know how else to do it any better than that. Free agency begins in the NFL. Lions with a ton of needs, it seems, all of a sudden. I mean, seriously, all of a sudden it seems like the Lions are after everything. A linebacker, a corner, they need a safety. We're still not sure about the receiver position. Maybe it's two receivers. They might need another tight end, Pettigrew free agency. So there's a lot of needs that Martin Mayhew is going to have to. This is you said it to Mildred. You said it. This is a bigger year than you think, even if it's Caldwell's first year as head coach. Because there were pieces in place. You just paid a quarterback $17 million on March 1st. Hello, is this on?
Is that
$17.5 million to Matthew Stafford, part of his guaranteed bonus, had to be paid on March 1st. It wasn't like they were going to cut him, even though the Jets today cut Santonio Holmes, they cut Antonio Cromartie. They're getting rid of guys left and right. But the Lions can't afford to do that. Dominican Sue ain't going anywhere. There are some people who say, I don't know why, you people are crazy to think that they should let Sue go, but whatever. There's still plenty of needs for this team. And you talked about Reggie Bush. Are you secure in the knowledge Bush can get through 16 games ever? I'm not. I don't know that you shouldn't have somebody better behind him even than Drake Bell or Michael LeSure. I keep hearing, credit.
How's he still on the team?
I don't know.
They blew that. Let me tell you something, Mark. I'm sorry. When is the best time to trade a player? Before anybody else knows that you don't want him. They could have easily dressed him up.
Right.
Get him all
packaged
ready.
Packaged
him. And then say.
Spit shined him.
Right. Get him out there. Nobody knows. And then make a phone call. You know what? We're thinking about with Reggie Bush. We might just have too many back. You interested? Then you don't dress him all year, Mark, and he makes...
God, no, that's another bad mistake by the Lions management, yes. Add it up, man. Just tally it to another bad mistake for the franchise. And, of course, we have the draft, but not till May because of a problem with Radio City Music Hall. It's not till May 8th.
And it's not April 24th. It's usually, like, late. I didn't even realize.
No, they've moved the draft now, Rob.
They moved it back.
That's going to be permanent now. It'll be in May. The draft, the NFL draft is now permanently in May.
Why is that?
Well, it was originally because of this scheduling conflict, but then they said, you know what? There was a real want to have the draft pushed back. They think, give us more time for evaluation, give us less time to negotiate, meaning players will have to get in quicker.
Well, they don't have any rights anyway now, anyway. I mean, the union sold those guys down the river.
Oh, yeah, ask Cam Newton. Ask Cam Newton. Cam Newton, you got 4 years, $24 million. The two guys before you got $75 million, Bradford and Stafford.
What kind of union is that? And what
I try to tell people who would listen, you realize they got the crappiest deal for first-year players now?
This is unbelievable. And the players, what union says, we want to make those guys not get as much money? Major League Baseball, Mark, remember when A-Rod was trying to go to Red Sox and was going to take a little bit of a pay cut? Union said, no.
Rob,
No pay cut.
Do you have the reason? Can you do it fast enough if I tell you like this? Can you tell everybody why rookies have to make more in the NFL than other sports?
Well, because of, about how long they're going to play.
Exactly. The average lifespan of an NFL player is less than 3.5 years.
And also...
That's for the good ones as opposed to the bad ones.
And those guys have worked hard to put themselves in position, Mark, to get to that spot. And most of them have deals and all this stuff. They should be compensated. You're the top 20 players in college football in the whole country, 330 million people. It's a premium. You can't be paid across the board like everybody. That's ridiculous. That union is the worst.
Now they made another. That's the second bad deal that they've made. First was your buddy Gene Upshaw in 87.
Talking again, did we not have him on the radio?
Yeah.
Did I not go at him and say, Gene, worst union deal I've ever seen?
Yeah, you know what? He passed away because of what you said.
You know, stop it. Oh, stop.
You killed him, right? You killed Gene Upshaw.
I hope not.
Pistons, wow. Dude, I got to tell you. Seriously. I don't know that I've ever seen it this bad.
3 games out of the last playoff spot. Last spot on the set. Can you turn the page? Come on, let's go to the next thing.
What are you doing?
We don't need to talk about it. Come on.
We're going to talk about the Pistons. The numbers are amazing. How could you not? First of all.
Just tired. Same old story.
Well, that's their problem. That's their fault. They've now lost 10 out of 12. They lose to Boston. In Boston, 118 to 111. They're 24-39. Celtics aren't much better. All of a sudden, they're 22-41 at least. Rajon Rondo had 18 assists. Chris Kardashian had 20 points and 11 rebounds. Jeff Kardashian had 27 points. And Kelly Kardashian, Olynyk, had just terrible numbers. Pistons are now 27th in the NBA in points allowed per game, 103.8. They've allowed under 100 only once in their last 11 games. And yes, the positive, they're 3 back of Atlanta for the 8th spot. But let me explain a little bit about the difference between the NBA Eastern Conference and the NBA Western Conference. There are 2 teams in the East with 40-plus wins. That's Indiana-Miami.
We've seen this happen before. I've seen the West bad. We're only a couple teams. It happens once in a while.
Not right
this
now.
Is a bad year. I'm gonna tell you this. Let me give you a bigger picture. I think this might be one of the worst NBA regular seasons I can remember. And I'm just talking about the injuries, the Kobe, all the people who are hurt.
The Kobe.
Well, but Kobe, the Nets, that lost Brook Lopez. That team was supposed to be they were at 500, but that derailed their season. There's a lot of bad teams in the East. I don't know. This season has been one of the worst for me as far as watching. I'm not compelling at all.
I'm not sure I agree with you on that.
What's compelling to you? I'm
the West.
You.
The West is compelling to me. Yes. And I love the fact that Kobe's been out, and I love the fact the Lakers suck because it's not just about L.A. anymore. And now we get to see some moving and some dealing, some things. I actually want to see the Clippers do something for a change. I actually want to see if Oklahoma City – look, we've said this before, Rob. This is the greatest thing ever. In the 1970s, there were 8 champions in the NBA. 8 different champions in the 70s. From 1980 to now, there have been 9.
I know. Just not.
Amazing.
It's the league, though. I tell you, that's why when I tell people all the time, this whole parity, that's because half the league makes the playoffs. Everybody thinks, oh, we're in the playoffs. We got a chance. The same 3 or 4 teams, Mark, have a chance to win the championship. Every year. So you play all these regular season games that don't mean anything. You get in the playoffs. 4 out of 7. It's not a one game where anybody can beat anybody. 4 out of 7. When you have LeBron and Dwayne Wade. Dude, they might
win a couple games. 23 teams are out before the season starts.
Absolutely. Am I right?
23 are out.
Out. No shot.
And by the way, two of the teams that are in, that we count in, Indiana and Oklahoma City, have never won a championship. Granted, the Seattle Supersonics did.
And the Pacers won in the ABA. But you're talking about in the NBA.
I'm talking about in the NBA, as Oklahoma City, they've never won. And Indiana has been around a long time now, 37 years, has never won in the NBA. And those are two teams we say are in. They've never won a championship. Six teams in the West have 40-plus victories. And as I said, only two in the East do. And there's probably two more in the West that will get there at least. Pistons are one of five Eastern teams averaging 100-plus points per game. There are 13 in the West averaging 100-plus points a game. The other thing I want to ask you about the NBA, that's your discrepancy between this Piston hanging around for the East, the eighth spot in the East. Phil Jackson and the Knicks. You shake your head as soon as I say the phrase.
It's a money grab. It's terrible. I mean, it's typical Knicks. I get it. They got to have a big name. Got to have a big name no matter what. What team is he put together? Now, if you're telling me you want to sit him out there and have him coach and have him show people that he can't win without having some of the best talent, go ahead and do that. But GM and running the show, what team is he put together? He added pieces around. Yeah, Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen to add pieces around.
All I know is he said, hire Mo Cheeks, Pistons. I don't know if he did that.
I'm sorry. I'm not.
He was the consultant on the Mo Cheeks.
I think I don't blame Phil Jackson. Mark, would you like to get three paychecks? Social Security and a check from the Knicks.
Why not?
Okay. Sure. It's a money grab. And the Knicks are going to fall for it. You know
and
what
he knows, by the way, that 11 championships, he'll never hurt his legacy with anything else he does.
No, he's good. Right. So he can go there and fail. Nobody's going to say, see, he wasn't a good coach. No. They'll say the Knicks were a bad situation. They haven't won since 1973, so what do you want Phil Jackson to do? It's a great money grab.
Right, and I think he's afraid maybe to coach him. I'll tell you why, because he does have two, what used to be known as two of the better players in the league, and Amari Stoudemire and Carmelo Anthony. And if he doesn't win with Anthony and Stoudemire, because remember you need two, and since currently Mike Woodson can't win with Amari Stoudemire and Carmelo Anthony, I think he's afraid to have that actually on his record. I think
he'd rather be in the front office.
Yeah.
Well, remember when he was talking to the Lakers, said he can't travel to the what? Those are the games I need you, not at home. No, Mark. If you can't coach the road games, you can't coach in the NBA.
No,
you go for that?
No, but I wouldn't go for Phil anymore either. I think the Phil thing is done. But hey, Knicks, have at it, brother. Spartans didn't fall in the latest poll despite the loss at Ohio State 69-67, although, you know, you should lose at Ohio State. That Thad Mata has it going on there.
No, stop it.
You're killing me. Ohio State's
unranked, Ohio State.
Come on, stop with that. They still got LaQuinton Ross and Aaron Kraft.
They're unranked. Mark, did you watch the game? You didn't watch the game. I'm going to tell you. Did you see all the turnovers?
I saw it on those highlights,
But the second half at the end of that game, they were brutal.
Well, look, I'm the one who told you, and I'll get to it in a second, but MSU 23-8, they finished the regular season, 12-6 in the Big Ten, only 5-7 since the 18-1 start, but a lot of that is attributed to Appling's injury, AP's injury, Brandon Dawson's injury. AP's back now, Payne had 23, Gary Harris had a bad game, 12 points, not good enough, not for a guy who's one of the Big Ten leading scorers. Yes, Rob, 22 personal fouls and 16 turnovers is not acceptable. And LQ Ross, LaQuinton Ross, had 22, and Kraft had his 12 in the big steal at the end. And they didn't drop because they can't drop anymore except out of the poll at 22. So, okay, fine, they lose to Ohio State to go to the Big Ten tournament. Michigan wraps up the Big Ten title season, and John Beilein should be coach of the century for this. Minus Burke, minus Hardaway, no McGarry all season. Beat Indiana 84-80, first outright. We already know this. They had it locked up before the game. Since Bill Frieder in 86 with Antoine Joubert and Roy Tarpley in that group. 23-7, 15-3. 15-3 Big Ten season. And John Beilein, this team reminds me a lot of that West Virginia club that probably could have won a national championship about 8 years ago when he had Mike Gansey and Kevin Pitsnoggle. I said Pitsnoggle. But boy, that rebounding is terrible. Michigan is 296th in the country. in rebounding at 32 a game. They've never been able to get past that number. Jordan Morgan has done a nice job. Horford did a nice job. Stauskas came back nicely. Caris LeVert has had a nice season. A guy who averaged 2 points a game, Rob, to come back to do what he's done this year. I think that's the, if you say, what's the difference? We already knew what Robinson could do. We knew what Stauskas could do. We knew what Spike Albrecht could do. I did not know what Caris LeVert could do. And this guy came up with more 20-point games, 15, 16, 17, when they really needed it the most. He was able to replace the scoring loss, basically, of Hardaway and kind of the playmaking loss of Trey Burke. Without Caris LeVert, in my opinion, it's not Robinson. It's not anybody else. LeVert is their MVP this year because without him, they would not have been in this position. Somebody had to take up the slack from Hardaway and Burke. He did both guys. He's not gotten anywhere near the credit he should get for this.
I agree. And I wasn't that crazy about him when he got here. The first couple of years, Mark, and this year he did an incredible job.
Incredible.
Incredible. I agree with you. I don't know what else to say other than give him credit. When you lose those kind of players and things like that, and then you do what you did and win the Big Ten, 2 wins against Izzo and Michigan State, your in-state rival, which is huge, right?
And State deserved every part of those losses.
5 out of 7 now or something?
Yeah.
He's won against...
No, MSU has deserved every part of those losses. Because Michigan has outplayed and outcoached. Beeline has outcoached
him. I'm glad you used that, outcoached.
No, it's not even close. Even with the injuries. There's enough talent at Michigan State, and at least I give Izzo credit for not hanging on to the injury thing. There's plenty of guys there. You know what? And I'm going to say this again to all the people in East Lansing. I had a guy text me, who wears 3 for MSU? I said, you're a Spartan. You don't even know Alvin Ellis III. He's one of the big freshman recruit with Gavin Schilling out of Vegas. The reason he doesn't know him is because they haven't done anything. You should already know the names Gavin Schilling and Alvin Ellis. They should have been big-time guys to give a break to a guy like Appling or to Gary Harris or the injury to Payne and make something happen. Even Kenny Kaminsky and Matt Costello, not good enough. Too much talent there for them to be struggling at 5-7 at the end of a season. Here's the Big Ten tournament. Number 1 seed Michigan against the Indiana-Illinois winner at noon on Friday. Now, MSU's the 3 seed in the Big Ten, Rob. They got Iowa-Northwestern winner. Doesn't that seem like a better game? I would take a chance against Iowa-Northwestern winner rather than Indiana-Illinois winner. Michigan seems like that was a harder game as the number 1 seed.
Yeah, why is that?
Because that's where the seeding is. It's done by record. It's not that they didn't do it on haphazard.
But you're right. It does seem like they should have had a cupcake. Right?
Indiana-Illinois winner sounds hard game to me. Yeah. Iowa-Northwestern, not so much. So that's noon Friday for Michigan, 9:30 Friday night, or thereabouts. It's after the other game on Friday as well in Indianapolis. Number 2 ranked seeded is Wisconsin, even though they got upset by Nebraska. And by the way, look out for Tim Miles in Nebraska. The Huskers are playing some hoop for the first time since Danny Nee was their head coach. They could upset some people.
You know what's funny? If you look around online or whatever stories, so many stories about Nebraska, there's always with a question mark. Like, Nebraska? You know what I mean for basketball.
Well, Danny Nee had it going on in Lincoln for a while there. You don't think that this is like never happened.
I know, but it's a lot of that out there. You know how well they're playing this year.
So Nebraska's got the Ohio State-Purdue winner. That could be your upset game. Buckeyes are on a neutral court or Boilermakers could lose easily to Nebraska, and Nebraska could be a team that will be playing Saturday or Sunday even. Sunday being the championship game at 3:30 right before Selection Sunday. Selection Sunday is this week. Tommy Amaker. I want to give a little love to Amaker. You know you like Tommy.
Yeah, Harvard's back in the tournament.
Again. Harvard never got there prior to Amaker. I think what he's done in Cambridge is short of incredible, to be honest with you, because Princeton was always the Ivy League power in hoops.
And now all of a sudden it's Harvard.
And Tommy Amaker's made that happen. The other love, obviously, to Wichita State, the unbeaten run to 34-0. They win the Missouri Valley, 83-69 over Indiana State. Only the 1991 UNLV Runnin' Rebels at Jerry Tarkanian started a season 34-0 before getting to the tournament. The Shockers are the 18th team in history to go to the NCAA's unbeaten. Only 7 won the championship. So it's, you know, a lot of times, and now someone will say, that's because these smaller schools They haven't played anybody, Wichita State. They played their conference. They never had a their non-conference wasn't very good. Their strength of schedule wasn't great. So now we'll see the real Wichita State, who had a nice run last year, too. Greg Marshall's done a terrific job. I'm not ripping his job he's done. 34-0 is incredible in any way, shape, or form. I don't care who you play, you still got to win the games. And there's plenty of good teams in the Missouri Valley Conference.
No, just to say that, it's the same thing when people talk about Tanaka, the Yankees pitcher they got from Japan. I'm sorry, Mark. I don't care what league you played in.
What was he, 24-0?
24-0! How could you look at that and be like, well, I don't know what he's going to do. Really? In a league where Ichiro and Matsui play? Don't tell me that 24-0, Mark.
That's 24-0.
That's 24. I don't care where you're pitching. Nobody's that good.
No, no. One more shout-out to Steve Fisher. This is kind of cool.
Shout-out.
Steve Fisher, who just got his 300th win at San Diego State about 3 weeks ago, 27-3. He's right now tied in the poll at number 8 with Michigan. So Fisher, the former Michigan coach, and Beilein, you know, who's, let's see, 3 coaches removed since you had Brian Ellerby, Amaker, and then Beilein, are both number 8 in the country with exactly 1,143 points in the latest poll. So good for Fish, and he needs to get something done, too, to kind of, again, show that the Mountain West Conference has something going on, similar to the Missouri Valley. He's been knocked out after a couple of rounds. If he could get into a good run and maybe make it to a Final Four, even an Elite Eight, I think that'll show that the Missouri Valley has actually got something happening there. Michigan High School Association basketball boys have reached the regional round tonight. Regional finals Wednesday. Semis and finals are at Breslin on March 20th. So a lot of high school basketball going on in the next couple of weeks, as we all know as well. Just a couple more things. Hockey, Red Wings, shut out New York. I knew they would enjoy their run in the East. The Rangers win 3-0. Henrik Lundqvist's 300th win as the Rangers goaltender. He's had a, you know, he's, again, maybe I would say underrated, but actually quite underhyped for a guy who plays in New York with the Rangers.
Well, but, because they have money.
That's true. Haven't won anything.
Mark, he's done well, but what have they won? Rangers. Nothing.
Well, they've still only got the one Stanley Cup in the last 50 years since, you know, the one in the mid-90s
right.
that they won with.
94?
Yeah. 71 points right now for the Wings. They're right now in 50 in the Atlantic Division and a virtual tie with your favorite team, the Columbus Blue Jackets.
The Wings used to play every other week.
Well, they still are in this. They moved to the East with them. So you still got the. In fact, they're playing them tonight. Like Columbus, tomorrow, Tuesday.
I didn't realize they moved.
Oh, yeah, Columbus moved to the East, too. Yeah, you used to complain. I said, why you complain about, you're still going to see Columbus. Sorry. You just have to see Nashville. Did you like the Legwon trade? I liked the David Legwon trade. I wrote about it. It's on our website. I wrote about Legwon being a good deal because sometimes guys are what I call change of scenery guys. Here's Davey Legwon. He grows up in Grosse Pointe. We used to call him Davey when he was with the Plymouth Whalers. He played in the OHL for Plymouth at CompuWare. He played for the Detroit Ambassadors. He gets drafted, second player picked, first guy ever taken by a National Predators draft, behind Vincent LeCavalier, who was picked first. Then it was Legwon. So he's an overall number 2 pick in his career. Spends 15 years in Nashville, has the same coach and GM. Barry Trotz and David Poile are still the coach and GM. For a team that's never gotten past the second round of the playoffs in 15 years, how these two guys remain in their gigs is beyond my knowledge. I don't get it. Never past the second round.
Doesn't make sense, but that happens.
I don't. How does it happen? Tell me how that happens. Why has neither Poile nor Trotz been replaced in Nashville? Now, I'm not going to make this isn't Nashville Predators talk, but I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. Since their existence started, these are the two guys who have been the brain trust. And only once have they even gotten to the second round. Thank you, Red Wings. And that's it. Never a threat to go to the conference finals. Never a threat to get to a Stanley Cup. 15 years have now rolled by since the Predators have been around. So, look, Legwon has been a part of that since day one. If ever you want to try a guy, I heard, well, Legwon's lost this. He's lost passion. Of course he's lost passion. He's 33 and he's never gotten past the second round of the playoffs. I'd lose passion, too. Now you trade me to my hometown team? Who I grew up watching, going to Joe Louis Arena when I was a kid? Are you kidding? Why wouldn't you take a shot on Legwand? And not only that, but even if it doesn't pan out this year, if the Wings finally stop the streak and they don't get to the playoffs for the first time in over 2 decades, I'd still want to bring Legwand back. I want to see Leguan here for a full season. This was a guy who was considered high enough to be taken number two behind LeCavalier. There's no reason in the world why Ken Holland should not get a deal done with Dave Leguan. He's already shown dividends. He's already proven dividends. Not the Ranger game, the 3-0 game, but he had a couple assists the other night. His line had 11 points in that one victory. So I don't think there's any reason to hate this trade. I think it's a lot of reasons to like the David Leguan trade. And again, I wrote about that as well on our website. At Columbus Tuesday, Friday home against Edmonton, Sunday at Chicago on NBC. So it's three. It's two games against the West, one against the East now since Columbus is part of that East. What do we got next? Oh, I want to ask you this, Rob Parker. Here's a question for you today, okay? Did you hear about the high school hockey game that ended in the seven overtimes?
No, I didn't.
Okay, all right, here's the deal. High school championship game in Ohio. It's Cleveland St. Ignatius, very famous high school. That's the high school Brian Hoyer went to, Jake Ryan of Michigan, Oliver Luck, Andrew Luck's dad went to St. Ignatius in Cleveland. Plays a 1-1 game. They're in the seventh overtime against Sylvania Northview, which is, you know, northwest Ohio right by Toledo. Ignatius has won 3 state championships in hockey, 11 in football. They're a football powerhouse. The officials think there's a health risk. They stop the game after 7 overtimes. They award co-state champions. They do not play an 8th overtime. It ends 1-1. There's no provision for a shootout. So they said, we're afraid of these kids' health. We're going to stop this thing. We are not going to award a champion. We're going to make it a co-championship. And for Northview, that was their second state championship. Ends in a 1-1 tie, 7 overtimes. Did they do the right thing by not letting the kids play it out?
100% correct.
Correct.
Yep, I think they did. They didn't do it after 2 overtimes. That would be wimpy. 2, 7, kids, fatigue, somebody gets hurt, dehydrated, whatever the issue is, and then people say, how could you let these kids play? It's not professional. It's amateur. 7 overtimes is enough. I'm good with it.
I was a little surprised. I thought you'd say I was too wimpy, though.
No.
But even you say 7 is a good, you know, they let it go that long. They really did fear for these kids at home.
3 or 4, you know what I mean? You say 3 or 4 overtime. We've heard 3 or 4 overtime. 7 is a long time.
Tigers. Don't want to ever do a podcast without some Tiger talk. Tigers.
Is it a 3-hour podcast today?
No, it's actually not as long as you think.
No?
Tigers and Cardinals, spring training game, as we speak, it's probably over. I don't have a score. They were 6-5 before the game against the Cards at Roger Dean Stadium in Jupiter. If you've never been there, another one of those nice places. Did you see me tweet about Osceola Stadium when I said Rob and I love Osceola and Kissimmee? Remember the day we were there?
Don't you kiss a me.
Yeah, okay with that thing. I forgot. What was that from?
I don't know. We used to say it all the time.
Don't you kiss a me.
Right. Kissimmee.
It was from something else, though. Brad Ausmus, what about the goof up when he called for the thing and the pitcher balked and they walked and a winning run came in on a balk and he said it's my fault, I gave the wrong signal. Well, what does that mean to you? Is that anything in spring training? Does that mean anything to you? It doesn't mean anything to me.
No, just he messed up.
But you know what it did to me? Hey Brad, this was just one of those little notches, though. You know what I mean, Rob? You put that little notch down there.
Well, because when you haven't been a bench coach or a manager on any level and you make mistakes like that, people look at you and say, does he know the game like he thinks he knows it?
What if it happens in the middle of the season, he does the exact same thing? You'll go back and you'll say, hey, he did that in spring training.
Tigers beat the Cardinals 17-5.
17? You have any numbers? I'd really be curious. Just give me like some of the better numbers of the game. 17-5 at Roger Dean.
They put up a 7 spot in the third, 8 spot in the fourth.
So probably the starters were still in there.
Third and fourth innings. I'm looking for a box now. I don't see a box.
When's Verlander tomorrow?
I think so.
Justin, tomorrow after the rainout from last week. So Verlander will get his first start tomorrow. Was it against Toronto or something?
No box. They're 7-5 in the spring so far.
Well, it probably just happened. They don't have the box yet. It takes in spring training, a Grapefruit League action.
Yeah, because it's not the same.
Yeah, it takes longer to get the box through there. Any other earlier impressions? Cabrera back at first looks happy and healthy and wealthy and Pippen with love. What was your thing? Happy and healthy.
Happy and peppy and bursting with love.
I knew that was coming, dude.
No, I just thought, I don't think he's going to pitch to him the same. Well, we'll see. I could be wrong. He'll have a big year. I don't think he's going to have a big year.
I haven't gotten to my spring training diatribe yet. We'll get to that some other time. Why you should never bother with spring training games. And it has to do with 30 years ago, the 84 Tigers and even the 87 Tigers. Coming up next week on the podcast, since we won't do it today, I want to talk about the 20th anniversary of Michael Jordan's trip to spring training when he was with the White Sox?
I was there. I covered that game.
I was there too, and did a couple of Michael Jordan things, and I want to talk about our experiences with Jordan.
Yeah. I was there for that
this
game.
This is the 20th anniversary of Michael Jordan.
I remember it very vividly. His first at bat, everything.
Who was his manager?
In Cleveland.
I don't mean to do this to you.
Cleveland's manager.
Terry Francona. But who else was his manager? Who was his White Sox manager?
Gene
Lamont.
Yeah, Gene Lamont was at that time.
Uncle Gino was actually evaluating Jordan for the big club. Couple of shout out stuff in a moment. Patrick Reed won the Doral, the Trump renovated Doral down in Miami. Tiger folded after a 66 on Saturday.
Well, he's bad in the at the end of the fourth round, final rounds. What's been going on?
How about
on?
Patrick Reed wearing red shirt, black pants? Was that a slap at Tiger in some way?
That was Tiger's outfit.
Now, did you look at? Have you seen Patrick Reed? He is Weston Silver's twin brother.
Oh, really?
I am telling you, Rob. Take a look. Go find him, Patrick Reed, the winner of Doral. He looks just like. And by the way, happy birthday to Weston.
That's right. Happy birthday, the big 3-0.
Our guy.
The big 3-0.
So I just thought I'd bring that up, though, that it was Patrick Reed wearing the red and Tiger folded. And look, the back problem is obviously there, but he did shoot 66 on Saturday, so I guess the back was okay. Brad Keselowski wins the Vegas NASCAR race at the Vegas Motor Speedway when Dale Jr. ran out of gas. Give it up to Paul Wolf and his crew for Brad Keselowski for not running out of gas. But here's your Daytona 500 champion. Runs out of gas on the final lap. He's passed by Keselowski. And all of Rochester Hills is excited because Keselowski gets his first win of 2014. Danica Patrick, wah, 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 21st in the race. So that's the Vegas NASCAR race for Keselowski. And we won't do this one either yet, but I do want to talk at some point about Ronda Rousey and the Floyd Mayweather thing. Having an MMA, the chick from MMA, fight Mayweather in MMA rules, and whether or not that's even A, a good idea, and B, could Ronda Rousey actually?
I don't want to see that fight. I'm not interested in that.
Well, that's the other question. Is that even something you want to see? We'll do that next time. Shout-outs. Do you have any shout-outs? I got one. We haven't even talked about it yet. We had our meeting last week at Boodles.
Bruno and the Caesar salad made tableside. Oh. Makes you want to come undone.
I never even asked you. Had the pork chops?
Yeah,
lamb
delicious.
Chops?
Lamb chops.
They never asked you. You never said anything. Were they? How good were they?
Delicious.
Oh, I didn't know.
You remember?
Usually I turn to you and say, how's your food?
Oh, no, it was good. It was very good, Mark. And I appreciated it, too.
Well, I don't care about that part.
No, but it was nice. It was very nice.
But the food was good.
Delicious.
Now, you had two helpings of the Caesar salad.
I had to have another
I've never one. Seen that before.
No, I know, but I had to have another one. The first one was so good. Me and Weston, remember we were supposed
you
to split
both
it.
Had two Caesars.
We had two full. Remember we said we thought we were going to split one, and they made us two full size
now,
salads.
If you've listened to the Parker and the Man show, you've heard us talk about Boodles. Right there at 11 Mile Stevenson, I-75, Madison Heights. You've heard us talk about Bruno. They do make the greatest Caesar salad in the world. He makes it right tableside, right by your table. They'll do a steak Diane by your table, a steak Stewart by your you name a name, they'll throw a steak in front of it and do it at your table. But we had another great meal at Boodles. I'm never disappointed. I've been going for a quarter of a century. Same location. It's a great place. I've always recommended it. Bruno, Joe, Ruth Ann, Wendy was our server. Ruth Ann came over later, and Bruno was just the best. I didn't see Kevin or Dana there, but a shout-out to them as well. When we were going to go out to do the meeting, where did you guys all want to go?
What? To Boodles.
I didn't even recommend it.
No. We said we want to go to Boodles. No doubt about it.
My place, they're the one.
I've seen Bruno in a long time, and I enjoyed every minute of it.
So there you go. Shout out to Bruno and company at Boodles.
Shout out.
And his lovely bride, Charlotte, as well. And the last thing I want to mention to you is it's going to be on our website and on our Facebook page. The Muscular Dystrophy Association has gotten with me, and they want, in lieu of the fact there's no more telethon, which I'm still very angry and sad about, they've got a couple of events coming up. There's a muscle walk at Ford Field. I think it's on the 22nd. For more information, check our Facebook page and the website. I'll put it up on there. But get involved again with MDA. We're going to be, you know me, I'm always involved with MDA. There's some new people over there. Maggie's still there and what Carrie I did never talked to before. So I'm glad that they're going to give me some more information because really without the telethon, we need people out there more than ever to do their part if you can. So even if it's for a thing like the muscle walk at Ford Field, be a part of that. 22nd of March, all the details will be on there. Or I guess you go to MDA.org and get more information there as well. That's going to do it for us. Don't forget, show starts on the 24th of March.
Are you ready? Are you excited?
Hey, man, I'll get my sea legs back. I'll get there.
It'll be good.
Give me enough time to get get the cobwebs cleaned out and stuff done.
Oh yeah, it'll be the show you all remembered and loved, and some new stuff added.
In fact, we're just gonna replay old shows.
Oh no.
No.
Yeah, fresh shows.
So Rob, the Lions are thinking about hiring Bobby Ross. What do you think about that? We'll do some old archive show from the late 90s.
Let's not do that.
All right, until that time, and we may even have another new podcast for you one more time next week.
One more, right. Probably.
Yeah, we will. I think just to keep it fresh and happening. He's Rob Parker.
He is the man, Mark Wilson, and we will see you later, and we'll see you on the radio.
On the radio.
That's right, on March 24th, 7 p.m., please. Tune in at 7 p.m. You don't want to miss it.
And tell your friends.
That's right. It'll be one of those shows you don't want to miss.
Ooh.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Ooh.